The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. Today is Sweet 16. 16 yes. Years ago, I was sitting in Bloomington, Indiana. Went to my Mac. I hadn't had it that long. Turned it on, and there was an email, and it was from Mr. Otis.
That was the username, and yours was Diva Doc. Yes, a diva studying.
A diva, because I used to sing opera, and I was studying to get my doctorate. So,
and she traded in the PhD shortly thereafter for an MRS. So. Yeah, 16 years ago, a simple email. So those online services, dating services, can work.
They can. You never know how it's going to turn out. So, but I kissed a lot of frogs to get to my prince.
Have you ever been frog kissing? You never know how those things are going to turn out. The path the Lord is going to take you down from point A to point B sometimes is a very twisted and winding road. But
boy, isn't that the truth.
Who would have known that email 16 years ago would result in what you, dear listener, are hearing at this very moment.
Someone screaming. I can hear them.
The horror. The horror.
That's what you get.
Yeah. Well, today is Saturday, July the 20th of 2013, and welcome to PID Radio. We are doing this a day later than usual. Yesterday was tied up with stuff.
Well, we want to praise the Lord. The stuff we were doing means that we now have a car to drive.
Mm-hmm. Other than the vehicle kindly provided by my employer, but that's not really ours.
Yeah, so I don't know. They frown on us using, you know, for me, I want to, County, can I take the car today? Can you stay home from working so I can use your car and go to Walmart?
Not quite the intended use. So
No,
they don't mind me putting lots of miles on it as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the good
the company.
The company
is really good to us.
And they treat us extremely well, so we're happy with that.
O'Neill been very, very good to us.
But as we told you, Sharon's sister was involved in a wreck about a week ago. No one injured, thankfully. Debbie did suffer some bruising and still dealing with some pain resulting from the issue.
She was injured badly.
treated and released is how they officially put it on the news.
Yeah, we'll keep praying for her. We really appreciate that because she, as if you've ever been in a car wreck and they release you and say, oh, you're okay, it's going to be a few bruises for a few days. Each day, she notices some new little pain. So, she was pretty much bounced around inside that car. And as we say, you know, Silver, which was our nickname for the car, protected her.
Yeah.
And, mainly because the Lord protected her. But
right.
Yeah.
So Silver is off to the wrecker. Well, it was hauled off by the wrecker, off to an auction someplace to be sold for parts.
But we were able
to find a nice replacement. It's kind of funny. We're laughing about this because we were looking at the features, and this vehicle has some miles on it, but the price was right. And it's very nicely appointed.
It is. I've never in my life had a car that has this many nice features. Well, Silver was the second new car I'd had my whole life. Mm-hmm. No, I take that back. It was not. But I generally have bought very base model cars.
Yeah. And this one is would fall into the luxury SUV class. But again, because it's got some mileage on it.
Because it's a 2007 and has some high mileage. It sounds high to me. When you hear 100,000 miles or more, you start to think, oh, that car is never going to last. But cars in this class often last 300,000 miles.
As long as they're maintained.
I only drive about 10 miles a week.
But we were laughing because one of the features, I mean, the very last thing we were sort of expecting is it's got that too, and it's got the little, and it's got a cassette player.
Oh, sold. Seriously, that's when we looked at each other and said,
"That's it,
sold."
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we've got some nice transportation that should last us a good long while. Typically, for the driving that I do for the company, I'll put more miles on the car in a year than you put on the silver in 11 years. So,
oh, absolutely. We had had that car for 11 years, right. And the bulk of the mileage was put on early on during that, because the last few years, pretty much, it's just been to the store and back. So it had only 43,000 miles, something like that.
About 45, yeah. Yep. So anyway, that's a praise, and we're very pleased.
Amen with that, to that. Thank you, so, Lord.
Anyway, ooh, bonk.
Bonk, bonk on the head.
Started broadcasting, 1980? And so here I am 33 years later, and I'm still hitting my head on the microphone.
33, eh?
Yes. So anyway, okay. That's why we weren't available yesterday. We were hammering out all those fun details you need when you go to purchase a vehicle. So yeah.
Took
that's
a while.
Done.
And some of you may be pleased to find out that this is going to be our last PID radio for a while. We have lots of... Yeah, I know. All right.
Are going wild.
Everybody, back up. We are going to be very busy the next week or so, and traveling is a big, big portion of that busyness, because you've got work to do that's going to take you on the road for a couple of days, and then we head out on Wednesday to St. Louis, and then to Colorado.
Right. The Prophecy Summit at Pikes Peak is next weekend, 26th, 27th, 28th, and we will be very busy there. Sharon's giving two presentations. I'm giving one, and about...
You get two chances to be bored to tears with me. Science! Lots of science!
Consciousness fading. And I'll be doing one, and I need to weed it down, because as my dad used to say, if you ask Derek the time, he'll tell you how to build a watch. So I'm in the process of telling folks how to build the watch, and I need to weed that down a little bit.
Oh, you can do it, honey.
But
your presentation is awesome. You read part of that to me. I've seen your original presentations. You have tweaked it since then. It is so good. You need to write a book from this.
I think the way it's focused now, there's actually a book that could come from it. Mm-hmm. The way it originally was presented a couple of years ago was, so the NSA is spying on us, and that's not good. But I think through the research of fellows that we've talked to over the last couple of years, you know, guys like Chris Putnam and Rob Skiba, others who've been paying close attention to hello, Sam. Sam's coming to join us now.
I wasn't at the door crying.
No. Others have been paying attention to the religious implications, the theological implications of technology, that the presentation's actually taken on a little bit more significance. So I'm looking forward to this. But Sharon's, of course, deals with the science behind some of these technological advances and what geneticists hope to accomplish. There will be some... Gosh, what, like 19 other presenters besides the two of us, and I will be interviewing, if I can figure out the schedule, I'll be interviewing every one of them, except for me and you. But we, headphones, headphones wrapped around the old chair.
Sorry.
You'd think 8 years into this program we'd have figured out the logistics of our office chairs.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Sorry about that.
So that'll be tying us up a good deal next week. And we are bringing headset microphones just in case we get a spare minute, maybe can record some thoughts quickly via a Google Hangout or something from Colorado Springs.
I'll hang out with you.
Love to hang out with you. We could do that from the hotel room. We could do it from the conference room. We could do it over breakfast if we choose.
Why, we could.
So
you know what?
Will not be regular. Sharon's point, we will not have a regular Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule of PID radio next week.
That's true, but lots of interviews, so there's going to be tons of content that we'll be producing and part of. If I were wearing Google Glass right now, which you don't know that I'm not, do you? I mean, seriously, I know the Google Glass that we see is, it's pretty obvious that you have it on.
Right.
But what if they're working on a prototype that isn't as obvious? I might just go like this.
And take a picture.
And
or start a video.
Yeah. Well, since we don't have pictures here, I winked at him, which I you know, I'm prone to do anyway. And that's how hackers have arranged for Google Glass to now take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you have that hacked file as part of your operating system, then, or one of the apps on there, then you can just wink and it will automatically take a picture. And one of the hackers has installed facial recognition software.
Facial recognition software, yeah. I would be shocked if there weren't already versions of this, at least for as far as the camera recording operations. I'm sure that there are spy agencies out there that have this already, but the heads-up display of Google Glass, there are probably ways of doing that that are inobtrusive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is... when you start really digging into Google and what its mission really is, it gets a little creepy. And I don't want to dig too much into that because my presentation right now is at about 2 hours and we're trying to keep these shows to, you know, like 20 more minutes. So
now I'm not saying that the following comment is connected to his in any way, but we did just finish watching The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
I watched it last night and I told Derek he really, really needs to see this movie. And I'm so glad you watched it with me. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I needed a break. I was had been working on the presentation for about 4 hours straight.
I suspected
a break.
as much.
But yes, the movie was produced by Joss Whedon, written and directed by the same fellow who did Cloverfield. And in that same sense as Cloverfield, it takes standard horror movie stereotypes and stands them on their heads. It doesn't go where you think it's going to go. Cabin in the Woods sounds like your typical teens in a remote cabin location terrorized by mutant redneck zombies film. And there have been a number of them in that genre.
Zombies, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's clear from the start that something different is going on because you're also seeing then guys wearing... standard business attire.
They look like they work for IBM.
Yeah, and cutting back and forth, and you don't realize what they're doing until you. Well, it won't go any further with that.
No, but don't give it away. I would have been very upset if someone had given that away to me.
Right.
I really enjoyed the departure from the norm, but you know, there's a lot in there with regard to what I've talked about, and that's virtual sin. So
yeah.
I probably will write an article about that eventually. I want to watch the movie a couple of more times before I make commentary, but a lot in there. So be sure to watch The Cabin in the Woods if you're looking for a film to watch.
And you Firefly fans, it's just be glad this is one more thing Sharon has watched by Joss Whedon that she really, really likes. Sooner or later, we'll get her watching Firefly too.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, there's the same kind of conspiracy going on in Firefly. So,
well, you know, I'm sorry. That movie is just...
Forget the movie. Forget that you watch. We'll do the memory wipe.
What?
And then we'll go back and watch the series.
What?
So
who? What?
Speaking of weird stuff.
Okay.
You know, there was something that we overlooked the other day, and someone... Reminded us of it, yes. So, and I can't, for the life of me, can't remember what it was now. We need to go back. What was it we were supposed to remember?
It was something, is that memory wipe? I don't know.
Well, I'll dig into that.
Can you buy those at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Now, with lanolin.
And aloe, yeah. Scientists, once again, perpetuating the meme that Earth may have been seeded by Mars. Story that came out earlier this week. A new virus thought to be the largest ever discovered on Earth called the Pandora virus, interestingly enough.
I know. I asked Derek, why on Earth wouldn't they just name it some giganto, you know, virus name? But apparently they felt Pandora was better, this is a Pandora's box. Mm-hmm.
It's up to 10 times the size of other viruses, and this is the thing that I think really started them down this track. Only 6% of its genes resemble anything seen on Earth before, according to the story, which, where is this published from? The Daily Mail. Respected science journal, the Daily Mail. The largest virus discovered prior to this was called the megavirus, and the Pandora virus is twice the size of the megavirus, or the genetic code, rather, is twice the size of the megavirus. So only found underwater, not thought to pose a serious risk to humans.
Yeah, I would love to know why it departs from all other genomes so radically. They weren't clear about that. Of course, they probably thought, science, who needs that? Let's just take a quote from the actual report and not explain it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what we didn't talk about last week.
Exactly.
I know it was something important, so I'll continue looking.
Thank you.
Just carry on.
Researcher from Marseille University in France who found the virus told National Public Radio that we believe these new Pandora viruses have emerged from a new ancestral cellular type that no longer exists. Most traditional viruses around 10 nanometers to around 500 nanometers. The Pandora virus is around 1 micrometer, and there are 1,000 nanometers in a micrometer.
That's a big virus.
That is a big virus. Now, why would they then title the story Pandora virus could have come from an alien planet? Why do they feel compelled to bring that up and suggest that it might have originated on Mars?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Maybe we're supposed to be reminded, panspermia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
As in Pandora.
So anyway, Dr. Clavery from Marseille University said that we don't believe that this cellular type still exists on planet Earth, and went on to explain that it's possible that they may have come from another planet, such as Mars. So again, we're just supposed to remember that we are not from here, and no God here, no God involved.
Nothing to see here.
Exactly. Disturbing story from the Army Times earlier this week, and we've talked about this a couple of times before, similar stories. An anti-malarial drug given to U.S. Army soldiers may be linked to the massacre of 16 civilians in Afghanistan in March of 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had talked about larium several years
yes.
back.
Yes, was it larium that they were using?
Right. Now, this is the generic form of larium. They didn't mention that it was larium specifically involved in this particular case. Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, will be sentenced in less than a month for killing 16 Afghan civilians last March. His attorney hasn't said whether he's going to use a mental health defense to fight for a parole-eligible sentence, but according to the piece in the Army Times, an argument could be made that the 40-year-old Bales was not in his right mind. He was treated for a traumatic brain injury resulting from a rollover accident in 2010, possibly suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. He admitted to using steroids, and new evidence suggests that he was prescribed an anti-malaria drug known to cause hallucinations, aggression, and psychotic behavior in some patients. The FDA received notification in April 2012 from the maker of the anti-malarial drug, Larium, also manufactured under the generic name Mefloquine, that a patient taking the medication developed homicidal behavior and led to homicide, killing 17, which is incorrect, it was 12, Afghans. Again, this was a notification received by the FDA from the maker of the anti-malarial drug, Larium. So the report, which was obtained earlier in July by Military Times through a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, states, it was reported that this patient was administered mefloquine in direct contradiction to U.S. military rules that mefloquine should not be given to soldiers who had suffered traumatic brain injury due to its propensity to cross blood-brain barriers, inciting psychotic, homicidal, or suicidal behavior. There were a series of stories, several incidents at... was it Fort Benning, Georgia? I'm going to have to check that out now. Guys who had returned from duty in the Middle East who had then gone on to kill their wives and then commit suicide. And it was thought that the anti-malaria drug was the link between those cases. And that was Fort Bragg, actually, not Fort Benning. Fort Bragg, summer of 2008, 4 soldiers who killed their wives, 2 committed suicide, 2 were tried. And again, the link was thought to be mefloquine, brand name Larium, an anti-malarial drug. So it's possible that this has also then contributed to the deaths of 16 civilians in Afghanistan last March. So what is it about this? We talk about what can happen when you're under the influence of certain mind-altering drugs. Does it open one to the influence of evil spirits, what we would call either demons or fallen angels? Don't know. But it's
possible.
Is a disturbing story, and especially tragic considering that Sergeant Bales was given this contravention of military regulations. Somebody who suffered a traumatic brain injury is not supposed to be given Larium. So, we'll see what happens there. There is very little, what good there is coming from the American presence over there seems to be consistently outweighed by stories like this. The great game, as far as I'm concerned, the board should be tipped over. We should just leave folks alone.
Well, if you follow Pope Francis, then you get some of those.
That was the
get some points.
That was the story.
Yeah, it took me a while to find it, but Patricia for pointing it out. We had meant to talk about that. You know, the thing is, even doing three shows a week plus VFTV, there's so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had forgotten about this. It came up early in the week. We flagged it, and then we got into some other topics and skipped it. Pope Francis is actually offering time off from purgatory if you follow his Twitter feed. Is that the deal?
Here's the story. The Holy See's social media guru, Archbishop Claudio Maria Cieli, warned Friday that merely checking the Pope's Twitter feed won't necessarily result in an indulgence, the ancient church tradition related to the forgiveness of sins that roughly amounts to a get out of purgatory free card. Rather, Cieli told the Associated Press that Catholics seeking an indulgence for participating in Rio, either physically or virtually, must truly be contrite and have a moment of deepening faith. And somewhere in there, even though he doesn't say it, I'm thinking, and follow us on Twitter.
Maybe you have to click like on his Facebook page, too.
you may have to. I'm trying to see. To date, the Pope's at Pontifex handle has more than 7 million followers in the 9 languages in which Francis tweets, although I sort of doubt that Pope Francis himself is doing it. Most of the followers signed up when Benedict XVI inaugurated the handle last year.
At Pontifex.
Yeah, some might falsely think that Twitterized indulgences cheapen access to God's grace.
Yeah.
This is another quote. But they miss the point of the Pope's unprecedented move to social media, he said. This is Cieli talking. Oh, no, sorry. This appears to be someone else. Boy, this is bad writing in the AP articles. I'm sorry. Sometimes the writing stinks. It's hard to tell who's speaking. When they switch to a different paragraph, you should not say he or she. You should actually say the name again.
Exactly.
He, the Pope, is challenging tweeters to return to the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion and to deeply examine their conscience to free themselves from attachment to venial sins. The Pope doesn't miss a beat. Or an opportunity to evangelize, he says. Well, I don't know. I think social media is great. I think it's a wonderful way of following somebody who is someone you respect and admire. It also is a way of following people whom you don't respect and admire. Mm-hmm. You can follow us if you want to, but why would you?
Yeah.
The Pope, the idea of offering indulgences, if I can remember my history correct, was actually originated for soldiers who went to battle to free Jerusalem, and they were going to fight for good. And the Pope said, okay, even though you're going out killing, I'm going to bless you so that you will receive, extra indulgence and extra grace. I don't understand it as a get out of purgatory, and there is no purgatory, by the way. But the Catholic Church teaches that there's this sort of mid, you're only up to your knees.
It's a way station, on the way to.
And those who go immediately to heaven, those are the ones that are called saints.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches that those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that makes you a saint. Just trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that makes you a saint. So, St. Derek, I would say St. Sam, but...
Yeah, nothing in the... Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing that I can prove, but I suspect that if anybody goes, if any dogs go, he'll be there.
Yeah. The doctrine of purgatory is not based on any scripture. I understand that there is that Catholic apologists will use some scriptures, or some rather some verses from the apocryphal books of Maccabees, one of the First Maccabees, where some of the Jews prayed for those who had died in you know, and I guess that's justification. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the accepted 66 books of the Bible that you can use to justify and support the idea that there is a halfway house on the way to heaven where you get rid of the rest of your venial sins.
Mm-hmm. No, there is not. You either know Christ as your Savior or you do not.
Exactly. That's it. Pass or fail.
Mm-hmm.
We are entering a period of solar maximum, which is an 11-year cycle at which the sun's activity is heightened. We shall see a marked increase in the number of coronal mass ejections and solar flares in the coming months. In fact, we're supposed to be experiencing one as we record this.
Well, we have been. It's been really hot here. And in fact, you can see the heat cone from space. Did you see that article?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there was a satellite. I may have tweeted it, but there was an article earlier today that you could see the heat. It showed the northeast coast, and they always do. I mean, apparently that's the only part of the United States that matters.
When it gets hot there, it's global warming.
Exactly.
Not northeast United States warming. It's global. Here in the Midwestern United States, it did get warm this week. We've been above 90 degrees most of the week in the afternoons, but last year we were into the 90s in early June. This year has actually been a relatively cool summer. So, but of course...
No one's going to tell you that.
When the local weather runs counter to the predicted models of the warmists, we're told that weather does not equal climate. And when a hurricane is poised off the east coast of the United States, we're told it's because of global warming.
That's the article. The current heat wave is visible from space. Heat wave so big you can see it from space is not a weather forecast manufactured as a wrap line. It's reality. If you're sweating through this heat wave, which of course you are, the image above, and there's a link that we'll give you, allows you to visualize its abuse of strength and reach. The heat wave is so large, so massive, that it's visible from space. Don't you love this writing style? I'm going to put it in the headline, then I'm going to repeat the headline essentially in the first paragraph, and then I'm finally two or three paragraphs down going to give you. NASA offered an in-depth, this is the third paragraph, explanation of the hot pocket and its movements. A very anomalous weather pattern, it says, is in place over the U.S. from mid-July, trapped between an upper-level ridge centered over the Ohio Valley and the closed upper-level low over the Texas/Oklahoma border. Sam, science, boring!
No, I'm thinking George Carlin is hippy-dippy weatherman. Not to be confused with the Mexican high.
Or the atypical heat, muggy air, blah, blah, blah. It's, anyway, there's a picture there, so if you want to see it. But yeah, it's been really, really hot. Look at that. It looks like a six.
Kind of does, or it looks like a land hurricane.
Yeah. I can see Gary Stearman in there. Wait! No! It's Sharknado!
That's one... The first time since we cut off the cable access that I'm sorry we didn't have the Sci-Fi Channel.
We're going to get to see it, though, eventually.
Sure, they are producing, of course, a sequel to Sharknado, and there is now a social media campaign out there to choose the title for Sharknado 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sam?
I think flying dachshunds would be even more terrifying.
Scary.
Because they'd be really upset at having their naps and snacks disrupted. They'd be flying around inside the dachshunds going.
Wearing little striped socks like George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. You want something amusing, just go to YouTube and search for angry dachshund. And that will be pretty amusing. I wanted to toss out one final story, unless you've got something else. That,
well, I have one thing to end with.
Okay, good. You've got a good kicker. This is not quite kicker material.
You carry on.
Android, which is the sort of the cool operating system of choice. I'm looking at an Android tablet, in fact, even as we speak.
You are.
It's open source, and so therefore it's considered good. I think that this article kind of shows where Google is really headed with its goal to become the reality interface between humanity and the humanity 2.0, mm-hmm. as they build a call me crazy, as they build a virtual reality from all of the data that we're submitting to it. And I don't think we should be surprised to read this headline. The National Security Agency, the NSA, has inserted code into Android OS. We knew that Microsoft had been collaborating with the NSA since 2009. Google's on board. Apple joined up last year.
Facebook.
They're all on board with this. It's even on
Skype.
Yeah.
Well, Microsoft bought it.
I mean, you know, there was a bit of a flap last year when it was revealed that the iOS, the operating system in the iPhone and the iPod and iTouch iPad, is recording your geographic data. Every time you take a picture, it records where it was taken and when it was taken. It makes little screen caps every time you switch programs or switch apps inside the iPhone. But Android apparently know better. The NSA is writing code. The NSA is writing the code for the Android operating system.
Once upon a time. Slash.
Yeah. Google has agreed to incorporate code first developed by the NSA in 2011 into future versions of its mobile operating system. NSA officials say their code, known as Security Enhancements for Android. Get those all the time. Security enhancement for you. Yeah, click here to upgrade. Isolates apps to prevent hackers and marketers from gaining access to personal or corporate data stored on a device. Because, hey, the NSA just doesn't want to share. This is our data.
Yeah. When Darn we it. Say open source, we mean closed.
Yeah. Eventually, all new phones, tablets, televisions, cars, and other devices that rely on Android will include NSA code, according to agency spokeswoman Vinay Vines in an emailed statement. And that will be part of my presentation, a little preview, a little snippet from the presentation for next week.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, if you go to petitions.whitehouse.gov, you will see the following. We, the people, petition the Obama administration to create the Trayvon Protection Act.
Trayvon Protection Act.
We, the American people, ask you to create this. This act will protect black persons from white violence. Whoever put this up here, this has to be a joke, and I expect this to be taken down soon.
Reading it in
so
this,
understand
in that, sense,
that
yes.
I'm just reading what's up there. We expect to protect black persons from white violence by making it illegal for black persons to live in or travel to non-black neighborhoods, and will prohibit blacks from entering white-owned businesses, white schools, white-owned stores, etc. In essence, this act, it continues, will require blacks to live separate lives away from non-blacks. This is the best way to ensure their safety from violent, racist people like George Zimmerman. You know, I got to tell, I don't know who put this up here. It ends with, it's up to you to build support for petitions you care about and gather more signatures. A petition must get 150 signatures in order to be publicly searchable on whitehouse.gov. At the time that I found this afternoon, it had 21 signatures.
Yeah, just a joke.
Yeah, well, it requires for the president to be required to read it. It has to have, I think, 100,000 signatures.
Yeah.
It's a long way from that. So I expect this to disappear at some point. But
there is a point in that obviously... you know, tongue-in-cheek or sarcastic, snarky.
It's meant to be
petition, and that is that. That's what we Americans are supposed to think, that that we're supposed to be at each other's throats. And as Christians, you know, we're told that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen to that. And that's why this whole Trayvon Martin problem.
Yes,
it's so incredibly sad that there are people who genuinely are trying to get past it, trying to find, okay, how can this make me a better person? This has happened. You can't change what happened. How can I be a better person now? And yet, while all of that is going on, there are people in the media who are being told clearly, because they keep dredging it up,
right,
stir this pot. We want this to really just keep it in the press. We want it to be the headline. There are two reasons, at least, for that, and one of those is that we continue to, you know, go at each other's throats, a la Star Trek, Klingons, and the Trek, the Enterprise crew. But more than that, it's distracting. It fills it. It sucks all the air, all the oxygen out of the media cycle, and nothing else gets in there. So what else is going on in the world that we're missing? Because this is dominating the news.
Distraction of the week, yeah.
Not to say that the death of a young man should be called a distraction, and I don't think that. But there are other stories out there. One was the story about a six-year-old young man who, he mugged his friend. Armed robbery. He used a knife to steal an iPod from a fellow six-year-old. This was in Pittsburgh. Yeah. There was also a story out of Pittsburgh just this last few days of a young man who was very young. He was also six. He was part of a gang that was attempting to beat up on some people. When the police arrived, the policeman went over to the six-year-old. The six-year-old grabbed at the policeman's weapon and tried to take it from him. The policeman held the child at arm's length, trying to keep him away from the weapon, but the child continued to have a fit, so to speak. When the parent arrived, the child was put into the police car to keep him safe and to isolate him from the rest of the group. While in the police car, he bit a police officer. The mother essentially said, "How dare you treat my child like that?" Mm. And these kids were put back into the parents' care.
And 6-year old's not going to learn that kind of disrespect for authority just on its own.
He may just learn it from television and video games and movies.
Right.
But the fact that the parent, if we had a child who took a knife and held up a friend,
yeah,
I'm going to take your iPod. Friend handed it over. What if the friend hadn't?
Mm-hmm. There would have been a serious intervention that night, and some very serious parenting. Being a parent is not easy.
No, it is not.
It requires having to inconvenience yourself a lot. You have to put down the paper or put down your phone. I hate to say this about myself, but it's probably a good thing that this technology that we've got now was not available when Nicole was younger, because I'm afraid of the distraction that it would have caused.
Yeah.
To take me away from my fatherly duties. But there are times now when I'm out and about and I'll go somewhere for lunch and I'll see a family come in during the summer anyway with, you know, parents, kids, and all four of them will be sitting there across the table from one another, sitting and thumb typing or playing a video game or something. You know, maybe the boy's on his Wiimote or not a Wiimote, but you know what I'm talking about, the parents and the daughters are on the phones and they're texting and tweeting and reading and they're not interacting at all. And it's hard to be a parent if you don't interact with your child.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to be a parent if you don't interact with your child.
Amen to that. So we're going to end the show by asking you this week. You know, Derek and I, we have no choice. We're not going to be able to do any PID radios this week. We're going to try very hard to stay away from, you know, things like this as much as possible. Now, mind you, I have to finish my presentation.
Yes.
And I have to finish writing a paper that is due. And yes, I have homework.
Homework, yeah.
And so we have to be on the computer. But, you know, I think I'm going to take some time off from Facebook. I'll just post to Facebook. You won't see me on here this week. I'm going to try to live a little bit more of an analog life.
Well, I would say that I would make the same. Well, I think by next weekend, I'm going to have to follow that rule, because the schedule I've got at the conference is going to be pretty much talking into a microphone for most of Friday and Saturday. So otherwise, I would like to be taking some pictures and tweeting some things from the conference, but I'll be in the interview
that's right.
Room
I
most
have to do.
Day.
Maybe we better do this next week, because I promised that I would do the social media thing from the conference.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of hard. And I do appreciate that the social media aspect, and I know that we're going over 30 here. It's honestly wonderful. I've made so many good friends.
Amen.
Just today I was talking to some friends from England, and we were trying to figure out a way that Derek and I could get over there next year and maybe bring some of our friends with us, and that we could actually do some presentations. And I don't know if it'll happen, but boy, I'm praying that would happen, because I would love that. I think there are a lot of hungry people over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Lord has given us some sustenance to share, I think.
Yeah.
And they could share back with us.
Amen to that. And besides which, we'd like to see all the places that our ancestors got run out of. Man of Harlech, stop. Anyway, Sharon's ancestors run out of Scotland, mine out of Wales, and God knows where else. Yeah. We can't trace them back any further. It's like, no, we lost all
the records. We just eradicated that whole thing.
Oh, anyway, keep an eye on the PID Radio Cafe. Our Twitter feed is at PID Radio. And until we talk next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.